produced by Caleb Padgett on Finding My Way Radio Channel. Listen live on the internet or by calling toll-free 1-347-850-8560 in the U.S. or for international callers, dial 1-888-201-5313. Toll-free USA, 1-347-850-8560. Toll-free international callers, 1-888-201-5313.
My name is Debbie Keller, and my company is Home and Office Transitions. I provide move management services for individuals and companies. We were looking for a company with high-quality service, integrity, and one that was committed to the same high standards of customer service that we were. And we found all of those in Ewing Moving and Storage.
Amen. I want to look at a scripture and begin here on the day in John chapter 3. I just want to read verse 16. I really won't get time to break that scripture down today, but I will in the next week or so. But I wanted to read it at least. John 3, 16. I know that many of us, we know that scripture by heart. But I want us to look at it. John 3, 16. And I want to begin there. My preaching and teaching style has changed throughout the years. I used to try to preach hard, and I guess from that my voice got strained. And as muscles get older and contract and all of that, I'm not able to preach 40 minutes the way I used to preach. But I believe the style of teaching has helped develop and grow people in a real and relevant way. And I don't want to try to fool anybody or trick anybody. And my teaching gift is, at this point, intentional and on purpose. I want to look at this in John 3, verse 16, as I attempt to be patient and methodical in my scope. Beginning at verse 16, and I'll just read that one verse. We'll just read that one verse. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. As we continue on this series, Born Again, I want us to look at this from this standpoint on the day in verse 16. Y'all would, let me swap out mics. This mic is breaking up. Give me the yellow mic if y'all would. Thank y'all so much. In John 3:16, as we look at that. Thank you. In John 3:16, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. As we look at this, I wanted to look at this because the first thing, and I don't have time to hit rewind or review, that would put us in too much of a time deficit, but let me look at it this way. The plan of salvation was not an afterthought of God. That's my first point today. The plan of salvation was not an afterthought of God. Many of us need to be clear that when Adam and Eve messed up in the Garden of Eden, that it was not because of the fact that because they messed up. It wasn't because God didn't have a plan. God had a plan before Adam and Eve messed up in the garden. I need all of us to be clear in that fact, that God had a plan for you and us and our sin even before Adam and Eve sinned. Now, this sermon has a lot to do with our salvation and not with us getting stuff. I'll touch on getting stuff and stuff for about 2 minutes so that you can feel good about stuff. Because many of us, that's what we come to church for, is to talk about stuff, to hear about stuff. Can we get more stuff? Lord, give me more stuff. And many of us, we get more stuff and don't know what to do with the stuff we already have. The Bible allows us to know in John 3:16 that God loved the world. That term, God, literally gives us the picture of the supreme being of the universe. It is God all by himself. He did not have a committee in which he had to vote on. It was God all by himself as our Father, our God. Notice what he does. He loved the world. That term love, I've told you in times past, there are at least four terms for love. I don't have to give those out, but the term in here in verse 16 is God agape the world. That's a self-sacrificing kind of love. And in that self-sacrificing kind of love that God had, the Bible says he so agape, he so loved the world, the cosmos, the whole world, that he gave his only begotten son. Now, I don't want this verse to be taken out of context, and I just want to hit it just for a second before I get to where I need to get to. Because many scholars will use this verse as a verse to stand on the doctrine of universalism. And what the doctrine of universalism is, before you fall asleep on me, it simply states that because God sent Jesus to die, that the whole world has literally been saved and does not have to accept him as Lord and Savior simply because he's already paid the price for all of our sins, and all we got to do is continue to live the way we live, and we don't ever have to go to church. We don't ever have to try to live right. We can do whatever we want because universalism states that we are already saved whether we accept Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior. That is a false doctrine. That doctrine does not align with John 3:16. When you look at John 3:16, the Bible says God so loved the world, he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever believes in him. It does not just say that. Now, universalism could stand if verse 16 stopped at the fact of the son. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, then the doctrine of universalism would stand. But because it does not stop there, it keeps on going and says that whosoever believes in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. The problem with many people accepting Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior has nothing to do with whether they have evidence of whether Jesus ever walked the face of the earth. The fact that people won't accept Jesus Christ and live for him and tell others about him is, in one nutshell, one thing. It's the fact they don't want to live the life that is befitting to follow God. We want to live any kind of way. We want to do what we want to do. And we don't want there to be any absolutes. We don't want there to be any truths. We don't want there to be any a God. We want to do what we want to do. The Bible says in verse 16, God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever believes in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. All of us needed rescuing from sin. Here's the plan of salvation. The plan of salvation was not an afterthought of God. Secondly, it was the result of God's foreknowledge. It was the result of God's foreknowledge. That meant that God knew before. That's literally what foreknowledge means. God knew before. First Peter, let's go to First Peter chapter 18, our first scripture on today. First Peter chapter 18, I want to look at that as y'all put that up. In First Peter chapter 18, our first scripture as we look at it, I want us to see this because in First Peter chapter 18, it says, "For as much as ye know that you were not redeemed with corruptible things." Notice what he says, with corruptible things. You were not redeemed, bought back from sin, from the auction block of Satan, with corruptible things. Now, what he's saying there, what the writer is saying is, you were not bought back with gold, with silver, with drachmas, with dollars. Notice, you were not brought back, redeemed with corruptible things as silver and gold, from your vain conversation received by tradition from your fathers. Forget what other folk have said. Understand, my salvation was not with gold or silver. It was with the power of God. Look at verse 19. Verse 19 says, "But with the precious blood of Christ, as of a lamb without blemish and without spot." Understand that in the Old Testament, they would give one lamb. In the book of Genesis, they would have one lamb would die for one man. When you get over to Exodus, in Exodus, one lamb would die for one family. When you get further on in the Old Testament, one lamb would die for one nation. On Calvary, Jesus Christ was the lamb that died for the whole world. So notice, with the precious blood of Christ, as of a lamb without blemish and without spot. Okay, go to verse 20. Verse 20 says, "Who verily, truthfully, was foreordained before the foundation of the world." The Bible allows us to know that Jesus was already sacrificed in the mind of God before the foundation of the world. Notice, "Who verily was foreordained before the foundation of the world, but was manifest in these last times for you." Now, when we look at that, our proof text, if we were looking at it, and I'll look at it later on next week, but it would be Genesis 22. When Abraham takes Isaac up on the mountain, remember, Isaac and Abraham are going up to worship, and while they're going up to worship, Isaac says to his daddy, I see that you got everything ready. I see the fire. I see where you're getting ready to sacrifice. But where the lamb? Abraham has to look at his son. He, as he's going up the mountain, and as they are talking, as they're going up to worship, he has to say, "God will provide himself a sacrifice." Now, Abraham didn't know what he was saying, but he was actually prophetically speaking as to what God was getting ready to do. Because understand, on one side of the mountain, you got Abraham and Isaac going up to worship. But on the other side, you got God sending the sacrifice up to the mountain to meet them. As Abraham and Isaac get to that point, and Isaac is laid out on the altar, as Abraham takes that knife, he gets ready to kill him, and an angel says, "Don't do him no harm." It's literally the same picture, just a little bit bloodier, of what God did before the world was formed. In other words, he said, "Let me save the world before I make the world." Abraham, with that knife in his hand, as he hears the angel, he's already killed Isaac in his heart.
And God's sacrifice has already been provided. And the angel says, God has already provided. And he sees a ram caught over in the thickets. And Abraham gets up, sacrifices that ram, and says, look at God. You got to understand, and many of us need to know, that that's the way God operates in our life. That when you need God the most, God knows how to come up on the other side of the mountain. You can't see what God is doing, but God knows how to come up. But you got to be on your way up to worship. Is there anybody here that knows when I come to church, I come to worship the Lord? Because on the other side of the mountain, I don't know what God is getting ready to do. So notice, he said, but was manifesting these last times for you. Go to verse 21. He says, who by him do believe in God, that raised him up from the dead and gave him glory, that your faith and hope might be in God. He gives us Jesus to go to Calvary, died for all of our sins. 3 days later, he raises him up. And then he says, I want my glory to be on you. Notice, he says that your faith and hope might be in God. See, no longer do you have to put faith and hope in your money. You don't have to put faith and hope in your resources. You don't have to put faith and hope in people. You don't have to put faith and hope in a man or a woman. You can put your faith and hope all in God. Go to my next scripture, Titus chapter 1, verse 2 says, in hope of eternal life, which God, that cannot lie, promise before the world began. Notice, this is another proof text. This is the second one. That notice, our salvation was done not in the garden, but before the world was even laid. In hope of eternal life, which God, that cannot lie, promised before the world began. Look at verse 3. Verse 3 says, but hath in due time. In due time, he manifested his word through preaching. See, that's why you got to value the preaching moment. Promised Land, you can't discount the preaching moment. I know some of you just like music and you turn off the preaching part, but you cannot discount preaching. Don't you dare discount preaching, and learn how to respect the man or woman of God that is bringing the word of God. Don't sit there and text folk. You trying to get your next hookup, your next booty call while preaching going on. This is life-saving, the word of God. Some of you sitting there with your phones open and you talking about you reading the Bible, but then you get a text sometime and he talking about what you're dealing with. You sitting there, yeah, that's, and you trying to pretend like, don't nobody know I'm doing. Man, come on, your mind is on the other side of town. You better put your mind on the word of God. Hath in due times manifested his word through preaching, which is committed unto me according to the commandment of God our Savior. Now, before we go to the next verse, let me say this. If I wasn't called by God to preach, I'm talking about seriously to put my life on the line to preach and to teach. Listen, I wouldn't do it. Because you don't understand how much pain you endure persecution you endure. And let me be clear. Some of the stuff people say about the preacher, you don't hear me. Some of the stuff people say about the preacher, and I'm not just talking about me now, I'm talking about all preachers, the stuff people say about preachers. Now, granted, some preachers have given a bad name, but that's when you've got to pray for those preachers that have those struggles they're dealing with. Your beauty shop appointment ought not be filled with what's going on at so-and-so Baptist church and so-and-so Church of God in Christ. You ought to stop that and say, let's have a word of prayer. So in due time, manifested his word through preaching, which is committed unto me according to the commandment of God our Savior. Now, notice what he says. It's committed. The word of God is committed unto me according to the commandment of the word. In other words, it's the word of God that I'm following. It's all because of his word that I preach. If you're going to preach for money, please don't do it. Let me tell you. If you preach for money, if you think preaching for money is a thing to do, there are several other things that you can make a whole lot more than preaching the word of God. Do not preach for money. Many people look at you and they say, oh, you're doing well, and that's the enticement for them to preach, and you got this and you got that. No, I do a lot of other stuff outside of preaching. I wish I had a witness here. And so many of us need to understand that you have got, when you are called to this thing, you ain't called just in good times. When you call to preach the word of God, you're called in bad times as well. If I was going to quit, the pandemic was a good time to walk away. You sitting there preaching to a camera and you don't know if nobody behind the camera, if anybody cares about what you're saying. Listen, if I was going to quit, I would have quit during the pandemic. And that would have been a good time. Hey, y'all, here go y'all passwords. Here go y'all bills. Y'all can have all that stuff. And church was in a really good shape right there at the pandemic point. And I'm going to let y'all have this thing. Y'all can have it back. Here you go. But I'm not in it just for the good times. I'm in it for all times. So notice what he says. He says, but hath in due times manifested his word through preaching, which is committed unto me according to the commandment of God our Savior. Go to Revelation 13, verse 8, because in Revelation 13, 8, this is the next proof text that allows us to know about the foundations. He said, and all that dwell upon the earth shall worship him, whose names are not written in the book of the life, in book of life of the Lamb slain from the foundation of the world. The context is that there is a great war that has gone on in heaven. There's a dragon called Satan, and he has taken a third of the angels that were in heaven. He's convinced them, tricked them to leave heaven to come with him on this crusade against God. And notice what happens, and all that dwell upon the earth that remain shall worship him, and they're talking about Satan, whose names are not written in the book of life of the Lamb slain from the foundation of the world. Let me see if I can make this a little clearer. Because what Revelation 13 says is there's going to come a day that there's going to be only people that are left, that are here, that are not written in the Lamb's book of life. In other words, there's going to come a day that is literally going to be, and you think it's bad now, but it's going to be hell on earth. If you think it's bad now, imagine all of the saints being taken out. Imagine the church gone. And the only thing that's left are those people that don't know what they believe and why they believe it. Notice what happens. All that dwell upon the earth at that time shall worship him whose names are not written in the book of life of the Lamb slain from, the term from is a unique word. The term from, if you write in notes, it means in front of. Means in front of. The term from means in front of. He says, the Lamb slain in front of the foundation of the world. So before the world was anything, the Lamb, Jesus Christ, had already been slain. Okay, let's look at that a little closer, because when you look at it, he says, who is the Lamb? That's what you want to know. You're saying, Pastor, you've been talking about the Lamb. Who is the Lamb? In John chapter 1, verse 29, there's a verse. And when John and the other men were watching Jesus as he was coming in, John yells out and says, behold, the Lamb of God, which takes away the sin of the world. Let me see if I can be clear on that. He's talking about Jesus Christ. Now, John the Baptist had already been preaching and blazing the trails and telling others that there was one mightier on the way whose shoe latches I ain't able to tie. He's on the way. That's who you need to listen to. And John had sacrificed himself in the fact that his diet was locusts and wild honey. He was in the wilderness and preaching, and while preaching, folk would come from miles away in the city to come out to the desert to hear him preach. That's the kind of ministry John the Baptist had. But John says, with all that I am nothing for the one that's getting ready to come. And there he is, the Lamb of God, which takes away the sin of the world. Notice, he says the Lamb was slain from the foundation, in front of the foundation of the world. So the plan of salvation was not an afterthought of God. It was the result of God's foreknowledge. But let me move on, because salvation is offered because of God's love towards us. You ought to thank God that it's because of his love. Look at somebody shout, because of his love. I thank God for his love. Now, the first scripture I want us to look at, Romans chapter 5, verse 8, it gives us a clear picture of his love. And I want to close with John 3:16, because that's the picture, the founding block of God loving us. But in Romans chapter 5, verse 8, it says, but God commended his love toward us. Notice what he did. He commended his love toward us in that while we were yet sinners. Let me stop right there. We didn't get it right first, and then Christ died. We were wrong, and Christ still died. Matter of fact, many of us in here today, all of us in here today, still ain't got it right. I mean, you do the best you can, whatever that means. You know how people start talking about, when they talk about holiness and righteousness, you know, I do the best I can. What that mean? You do the best you can. You do the best you can not to get caught. God commended his love toward us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. You don't learn how to celebrate about nothing else. You don't have to get another car, another house. You ain't got to get another nothing else. But let me tell you one thing. As long as you got Jesus, that's all you need. If you don't get another job, if the business plan don't work out, if what you're trying to do next don't work out, you got to learn how to relish in the fact to be excited about the goodness of the Lord. So many times we're so focused and driven And I was that way, focused and driven on the next thing that you couldn't enjoy where you were right now. May not be perfect, may not be where you want to be, but you've got to learn how to truly thank God. Don't just thank God. Truly thank God and be thankful for where you are. So notice, he says, while we were yet sinners, we were yet sinners. Now, that's present progressive. That simply means you still sinning. You didn't get Christ and stop sinning. I know a lot of people, you know, I argued with a lady years ago when I was a kid. She said, "Oh, I'm perfect." I touched her, I said, "No, you still breathing." Ain't no way you still. I was 17 years old and knew that was out of context. So understand, while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Put up my next scripture. Put up my next scripture, 1 John, I believe it is. In 1 John chapter 4, verse 9, it says, "In this was manifested the love of God, and it was towards us, because that God sent his only begotten Son into the world that we might live," that is, "through him." That's why you got to, if you're saved and you got Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior, that's why you got to enjoy your life. You always complaining about what you ain't got, what somebody else got, what you want to do and what you ain't doing. No, be excited about where you are now. Learn how to be excited about your life. That Jesus came that we may have life, and have life more abundantly. So in this was manifested the love of God toward us, because that God sent his only begotten Son into the world that we might live through him. Verse 10, when you look at verse 10 says, "Herein is love, not that we love God, but that he loved us." Let me stop right there, because people love to say they love you. "Oh, I just love you." You know, when people say stuff like that and they don't know me, and I said this weeks ago, but I just want to bring it up right here, I cringe. I even take a step back. Because most people that love you because of. They don't love you in spite of. When you tell your spouse or your significant other, and you say, "Oh, I love you," you love them for what they did for you. It's because of love. It's not in spite of love. I just want you to think about that for 10 seconds. Because I see how y'all act on the internet when they do something that you don't like. "All men are dogs." No, don't say "all men are dogs." Why don't you say "Charlie that cheated on me, that I was left staying here rent free, drove my car, didn't put gas in it, and I was paying him and he wasn't doing nothing for me. He a dog." Don't put "all men" into that. And then if he a dog, you gotta learn how to stop feeding Purina. So if you know he a dog, you gonna keep feeding the dog? So if he's a dog and you let him stay around, be transparent. That means you are a lover of dogs. You dog lover. I mean, don't, you know, if you really love them, not lustful, but if you love them, and you want to show us how much you love them in spite of. Some of y'all gonna get that later on. In spite of how many women he got. In spite the fact that he won't work. In spite the fact that he lazy. In spite the fact he don't provide. In spite of the fact he bad and okay. No, notice. And herein is love. Not that we love God, but that he loved us. I got to wrap it up now. That he loved us, sent his son to be the propitiation for our sins. That term propitiation is a unique word. It means atonement. Atonement simply means, let me break it up. I like the fact that we got this big screen. That term at one moment, if you put a parenthesis, if you put a line there, it would say at, and then you put one there, it would say one. And that word meant means with. If you put it together, you're at one with God. We talked about this on last week, and I'm closing with this. Notice we're at one with God, because if we couldn't be at one with God, we would have to deal with the wrath of God. God's wrath is something no man wants to deal with. Revelation 13 gave us a preview, and that preview in Revelation 13 is that if you're here and you don't have your name in the Lamb's Book of Life, verse 8, you got to worship the devil. Let me be clear on something. When you come to the church, you come to worship God. If you can't worship God, you're worshiping something. It scares me when people can go to the club and blow the whistle. But you can't come to the house of God and lift up hands. If there's ever a place that I'm going to lift up hands, it would definitely be the church. I tell people I don't have rhythm. I marvel at people that can dance. You know, they can just show up dance. I mean, they just can dance. Y'all know some people that just can just dance. They come in on any beat, they got their thing, they water in their hand, and they don't let no, that ain't water in the cup. I thought it would be water. And they come in and they got their water in their cup, and they don't drop a tap of it, and they keep the beat, the whole rhythm. They got a cigarette in one hand. You know folk like that.
And I mean, they the life of the party. They come to church and you don't even know they were there. You're worshiping something. When it comes to the church, I don't want to have to ever deal with the wrath of God. The wrath of God is something none of us want to deal with. The greatest and the most dreadful wrath you can hear is these words: "Depart from me, you worker of iniquity." Can you imagine life without the Spirit of God? Many of us, this indictment is for you to change who and what you worship. Because if you're not worshiping God, the one true God, you're worshiping something. And anything other than the one true God is an idol God. To be clear, the term idol means nothing. So in other words, you're worshiping a nothing God. Let me tell you, if you're worshiping a nothing God, you will hear the words, "Depart from me, you worker of iniquity." But if you're worshiping God, God knows how to cover our sins. This scripture, as I close, says, "Herein is love. Not that we love God, but that God loved us and sent his Son, Jesus Christ, to be the atonement, the turning away of God's wrath." Notice, for our sins. In other words, what Jesus does for my sins is Jesus cleanses my sins. I'll deal with that on next week, but as I close, I need you to understand your sins, once you accept Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior of your life, have been cleansed. In other words, God reached down, like I said on last week, because we couldn't get to him. He came to us. I'm done.
Produced by Caleb Padgett on Finding My Way Radio Channel. Listen live on the internet or by calling toll-free 1-347-850-8560 in the U.S. or for international callers, dial 1-888-201-5313. Toll-free USA, 1-347-850-8560. Toll-free international callers, 1-888-201-5313.